gospel today is taken from Mark. When we get into it, you'll see that every single word of this passage is well thought out. Once you look at the construction of the text written by the author, you'll see what Mark had in mind. He wants us to both understand and is preparing us, the hearers of the good news for Jesus the Christ, who Jesus is. And not only that, but in this passage there's a writing that foretold not just of Jesus, but also of John the Baptist. And today's gospel is the regular one in the liturgical cycle. And as I said before, it's most fitting that two baptisms took place today. When you listen and perhaps read along in the pew Bibles, you'll hear that John baptized in water. He did so in order to cleanse those who came to see him and hear him. And you'll hear the words of John the Baptist, who predicted that when Jesus came, he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. So we start with the Gospel of Mark, first chapter, first verse. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." These are the words of Scripture. What a character John the Baptist was. He lived in the wilderness. And if you've ever seen pictures from National Geographic or any other place of the region around the Jordan River, you have an idea of wilderness. And we are told that he was one voice crying out in that wilderness. So imagine this guy dressed in camel's hair. Think of the camels at the Milwaukee County Zoo, the one hump and the two hump. Think of the mangy coats. I know we're going to have a wonderful breakfast today. Imagine the smell. He was in and out of water. His diet was pretty simple, honey, and it was probably to sweeten the locusts that he was eating. And even with his appearance, the author Mark tells us that people from Jerusalem, and not just some, but all, and all of the Judean countryside were going out to hear him, and to see him, and to be baptized by him. He was a character and a man of God. Now, think of what he was preaching. He was telling the people that they should ask God for forgiveness. They should be sorry for their sins. That they should have regrets if they offended God. And how did they know that they affronted God? How did they know that they sinned? The simplest way is to look at the commandments, for they are the basic fences that God has placed around us. But they are just the start. Not the end, just the start. To know if we offended God. But then God was not just asking people to repent. He was preparing the people for the coming of a Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. John told them that the coming of the Messiah was imminent and to be prepared. And he told them that this Messiah was powerful. And most importantly, he said when the Messiah would come, he would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel begin differently. They begin with the story of Jesus' birth. If you attend the 11 o'clock evening Christmas service in this nave, you will hear the story of Luke's birth story. John's gospel, on the other hand, begins with a major theological statement that Jesus is the Word of God, the Word made flesh. And if you attend the 10 a.m. Christmas Day service, you will hear the beginning of John's gospel. I read ahead. Mark, on the other hand, starts only one line to start his gospel. And it's a very stark line. And it is, again, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Incredibly stark. Mark does not leave any wiggle room for the listeners of his gospel when he wrote that opening line. It's clear. He's talking about news. It's good news. And the good news is about Jesus the Christ, and Jesus the Christ is the Son of God. This is what we remember and we relive during this Advent season, every Advent season, as we celebrate this season, as we approach Christmas, the celebration of the Incarnation, and we celebrate it with joy. This is why gifts, this is why decorations. What we see in this gospel passage is that Isaiah had a strong belief in God, and his thing, if you will, was prophecy. John the Baptist had a strong belief in God, and his thing, if you will, was to preach repentance. Mark, the author of this gospel, had a vibrant belief in God the Father, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and his gift, his thing, if you will, was to organize and write this first gospel. Jesus, the Son of God, was his own gift to us. When I read a passage like this, I have to constantly re-examine my faith, and after re-examining the faith, reassess what my thing is. What is my gift to God? And then ask you the same question. What do you do? What is your faith, and how do you reassess what is your thing in terms of response to faith? What are your gifts? Prophecy, preaching repentance, writing, service to others, mission, love, love without abandon, love without judgment, generosity, support, working in Jesus' name. And that's only the beginning of a list of avenues of service to God. So what is your thing? For with faith we can declare that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who walked among us. But then the question after we read a gospel passage is to say, well, because of the faith, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it in my life? And then the question is, what are you going to do about it in your life? Jesus responded to the question asked of him, and because of his faith, the good news was written about his entire life and what he did about it. And when we look at John the Baptist, we have the same thing. What did John the Baptist do in response to his faith? Now, when Jesus walked among us, we realized the miracle of his birth, the miracle of God with us, the miracle of the Incarnation. And now, as people of God, we are invited, each of us, to respond to that miracle. And any response in life means that we're taking a step, a commitment verbally, a step physically. And response then means risk. Isaiah took risks. John the Baptist took risks. Jesus took risks. And you and me, what does our baptism call us to do? What does the Holy Spirit inspire us to do? If we have any prayer in response to the gospel, it's that we be open to God's will. And once we're open to God's will, and once we make a commitment, and once we take a step, we are in risk. When we look at all of the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Gospels, the thread that ties all of them together is that the people of God have taken risks. That's what faith calls you to do.